Over the past decade, Congress has stepped up pressure on the Defense Department to gather data about its civilian workforce and to use that data to develop a strategic workforce plan. The Pentagon has a plan now, but according to the Government Accountability Office, it has some gaps. It leaves out some of the information Congress mandated, and DOD's workforce strategy doesn't appear to be tied to either its budget plans or its broader management strategies. Brenda Farrell is Director of Defense Capabilities and Management at GAO. She discussed the new report with me earlier today.
This is not the first plan that DOD has done. We've been looking at their plan since 2007, and I have to note that they have made improvements from what is statutorily required from 2006 to this latest plan. When we started out, I think the title of our report was DOD did not meet most statutory requirements to develop their strategic workforce plan, and they have addressed a number of them. But two issues that still stand out that are statutorily required, and we'd like to see them, and I think they agree that they'd like to do further work, is looking at the critical competencies. They do a pretty good job of identifying mission-critical skills, as they call them, but they still need to assess their mission-critical competencies in order to determine gap assessments, and gap assessments is almost like the diving board for further planning in terms of once you know where your holes are from those gap assessments, then you can tailor your recruiting and retention strategies. So it's very critical that they do continue to try to do their competency assessments. And then the second statutorily required provision that none of their workforce plans for any of their different groups, whether it's the financial management or senior leaders, is the assessing the mix of skills that's needed for the military, the civilians, and the contractors. What should that mix of capabilities from those different segments be? And that gets you into the numbers. And then you would be able to understand the numbers of civilians, the numbers of the military, and the numbers of the contracting force.
Let's talk about that mix a little bit more. I think one of the long-running issues within DOD is it didn't have particularly good data on exactly how big, especially its contracting workforce, is or was. That obviously impairs your ability to do a lot of good planning around what that mix is if you don't know what you have. Has that gotten better over the years?
Yes, it has. There's data on the civilians as well as the military. You can go back to fiscal year 2001 or after 9/11, and there is reliable data on those two particular workforces, but you can't get or obtain comparable data on the contractor workforce. DOD has been working on a contractor inventory. We do have information about their contracted services. For example, we know that the contracted services grew from about $96 billion in FY 2001 to $174 billion for an estimated workforce in the neighborhood of 670,000 FTEs. So more information is coming available about the number of FTEs because they have been building that inventory the last few years, but you can't go back to those earlier years and have comparable numbers for the contractor workforce as well as the civilians. The civilians have grown as well. That data is available. We do know that they've grown from about 687,000 back in the same time period of FY 2001 to about 782,000 projected now for FY 2015. And that cost of the civilian workforce is somewhere in the neighborhood of $74 billion.
Back on the contractors, one of the arguments I have heard made from the department is that it's difficult and maybe not even terribly useful to come up with a headcount of the contractor workforce because we're not necessarily buying numbers of people, we're buying capabilities. To get after the kind of strategic planning that GAO is urging the department to do, is that a good enough answer, or do they really need a raw number of FTEs that they're contracting for?
I think having quality data of what's on board helps you to manage your force and know what's needed now and in the future. But the statutory requirement is not to identify the number of contractors, but to do an assessment of the appropriate mix of all three workforces. I think it would be very difficult to do that assessment if you didn't have better indications of the numbers, as DOD is starting to acquire now about the contractor workforce. But it still comes back to it's difficult to look at one workforce in isolation, especially in today's environment, because DOD is dependent upon all three workforces, whether it's the military or the civilian or the contractors, to carry out its wide array of missions.
Another way that you assessed the strategic plan for the civilian workforce, besides assessing it in terms of its compliance with statutory requirements, I think almost in a parallel way, you looked at whether they incorporated key strategic workforce planning principles. Can you talk a bit about where those principles come from and the extent to which DOD incorporated them?
Yes, many of these principles are incorporated in the requirements that the Congress has mandated for DOD to build its workforce plan. Some of them are from our own work, where we have looked at private organizations, states, other governments, talked to agencies such as Office of Personnel Management to come up with key management practices for strategic human capital planning, which is one component of the management process. There are others. The principle that is not included in the statutory requirement for DOD deals with strategic alignment, and that is aligning your workforce strategies to the agency's missions and goals, as well as with budget formulation. And there are other things, but key is that budget formulation. A lot of people may wonder, why bother to do a strategic human capital plan? Well, it's about money. If you have a well-developed strategic human capital plan that identifies your needs and your gaps and where you plan to target in order to carry out your mission, that helps justify the resources that are needed in terms of numbers of people, as well as funding to pay them, to train them, to recruit, retain them. So the key thing that we saw missing was this alignment to the budget formulation of what DOD hopes to accomplish with its human capital programs. Tying your needs to the budget formulation and what it's going to take is critical in order for that plan to be realized.
Well, and I think the department agrees and said as much back to you in their comments with regard to this report, that you really do need to align your strategic workforce plans with your management objectives, with your budgeting, and yet it doesn't seem to have happened. Do you have any good ideas on exactly why that is, and these things seem to be happening basically in silos still?
Well, the plan's evolving. As I said, back when we first looked at their plan, in 2007, they did not meet most of the requirements, and I'm not sure that the leadership was there to help drive development of this plan. We have seen, as I said, mixed results and improvement in the last couple of years in terms of the leadership recognizing the benefit of the plan. This is a huge workforce. It's to say it's massive or huge is probably an understatement. Workforce over 3 million people. And even though this particular plan is focusing on the civilian personnel, as I've said, the civilian personnel in the context of the total force to make decisions. If you do those in isolation, it could be out of balance, or you could not truly be meeting the mission's needs.
And finally, I guess it's probably worth pointing out, too, that this is not a DOD-only issue. I think you guys have had human capital planning government-wide on your high-risk list for quite a while, no?
Yes, since 2001, we first placed strategic human capital on our high-risk list. And as we've seen in DOD and other agencies, the leadership commitment has come along in order to make improvements in this area. But it does come back to those gap assessments and identifying the strategies from those gap assessments to recruit and retain the people you need. It is important for DOD to continue its efforts to complete the development. We have seen them come a long way, and by doing so, they truly will ensure that they have the right people, right time, and the right place.